today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You said simulacrum when you meant to say simulacra.
This is the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of my co-host, co-founder, and great friend Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another episode of our show. Yesterday, we had a conversation with Evan Bijou of the band Late Earth from Syracuse, New York. And today, we want to have the second part of that conversation with Evan. His band is going to be performing at Suburbs Fest on October 1st in Silver Spring, Maryland. And if you liked what you heard yesterday, I think you're going to love what you heard today. And if you do both of those things, you definitely want to come out and check out his band's performance on that night, the closing night of Suburbs Fest. All right, let's hit the tape. Let's get it rolling and get back into our conversation with Evan Bijou from Late Earth.
So I think the one song that our community, you know, probably knows best from Late Earth, that just really, you know, struck people is the song Walter. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Walter. So tell us a little bit about that song for people who have heard it or maybe are new to this, right?
So Walter is a song about my grandfather. His name was Walter Bijou, and he was kind of, I don't know, you know, to me a bit of like a folk hero. Like his story that, you know, stories that my father had told me and things that I'd read in the newspaper kind of like, you know, created the image of this sort of character in my head that was worthy of song. And I had a, I don't know what it was, one morning I was just like on scrolling social media, and I had a family member post a news clipping article from 1958, and it was you know, about my grandfather, and he had won this award, and they, you know, wrote the name of the award. It was called an Ovalwood Safety Award, and Ovalwood Dish was the name of the factory that he used to work at. They used to make the old, like, you know, wooden cutlery, the disposable cutlery back in the day when they were still made out of wood. And that's what Ovalwood Dish is, or at least used to be. It's no longer in production. But so he, you know, I read this article and I was like, this is really interesting. And so I kind of like took the notes from that and I arranged them. And then like I knew that he had been, you know, drafted to go to, you know, during World War II, a lot of the men back then were drafted, and so he was one of them. But, you know, the story of him going through Normandy and going through Battle of the Bulge and becoming a POW and all of these things, I'm like, this is something that, you know, if done right, it would make a really interesting song. And it, mm-hmm. what's unique about, and Walter is like one of my favorite songs because it's one of those unique, it shows up, you write it in like half an hour kind of songs. It didn't take very long because the information was already there. And so I just kind of arranged it in a way that was, to me, was compelling, and, you know, practiced out or whatever. And then walked, you know, I ran downstairs. I was like, Dad, check this out. And I started playing him the song, and he was like laying in bed watching something. It was early. It was like 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. on a weekend. And he's like, did you just write that? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, Jesus Christ. So like,
single tooth in his head. Whoa, 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 that was his brother Ed. Whoa, whoa,
that song came real fast and quick, and it's one of my favorite songs to play. And I think a lot of crowds, that's their favorite too, because, you know, I'll go to play a show, but like, we're gonna do that thing where you yell out, like, what song, you know, we gonna play or whatever. And Walter is one of the ones ultimately that gets shouted out, because that's, right. That's a lot of folks' favorites.
It's a very powerful song, and it's very memorable too. You know, like, you hear it once and it's just like, I know that song now.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, that's
thank you.
You know, and you can't say that about a lot of bands that you hear for the first time, right?
Oh, I mean, I really appreciate that. I think where that comes from is like, it's real, and that's what makes it stick, because you can't make that up, you know, and have it be compelling.
Yes. So that's another good tip for aspiring songwriters. You know, learn your family history, right?
There might
be something there to write about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've honestly been toying with the idea of doing a family tree album. So, oh, like, wow. Walter is like the grain, like the starting cool. point for that. But like, my other grandfather, my grandfather LaPointe, on my mother's side, was equally as interesting. He just, you know, he didn't pass away in the 70s. My grandfather made it to 88, but he was this like tiny little Frenchman, like lied on his papers to get into the military. He was like underage.
But wow.
He was supposed to be a belly gunner on the Pacific Theater, but they had dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it ended the war, and so he was still slated to go over, and instead of him becoming a belly gunner, they made him an MP.
Hmm.
And so he was over in Japan for a while doing that thing, and like, he was a pipe fitter. He worked with asbestos for
wow
decades. Like, my mom told me he used to come home, and she and my aunt and my uncle, they would like flag out his clothes and get the asbestos out of it. Like,
is that right?
Yeah. Wow. Like, so that, but he, you know, he made it to 88 with a small spot on his lung, and that was it. Like, he never kind of succumbed to mesothelioma or any of that. He was just hardy and a grump, and I used to spend a lot of time with him. He was the man. So it's like, you know, these characters in my family tree, like, I think are deserving of songs, and I think that would be a cool place to start, do a little family album. Hmm.
That's a really cool concept. I can't think, I don't know about you, Jim, but off the top of my head anyway, I can't think of anything where somebody's done that, right? Where they've done like a whole album of songs about their family tree. That's really an interesting idea,
right?
Yeah,
the
great.
Closest thing that I could think of is like Sufjan Stevens. I'm probably butchering his name, but he that at one point was like, I'm going to do an album for each of the 50 states. I don't know if he went.
Right.
You know, he did Illinois.
He got to like three.
He's like, all right, I'm done with this.
Like, that's very cool. And you know, it's got to be a wonderful feeling too, and a very rare thing when, you know, like you said, you write something and it just takes like a half an hour, like you're almost channeling it from from information you've stored inside you and other forces. Mm-hmm. Especially as a songwriter, that's got to be a rare phenomenon, right?
It is. It's like you see a unicorn in the wild. You're like, oh, please come over here. Like, please let me pet you. And I've had like songs like come to me when I don't have like a pad or something, or I'm out rolling around and I don't have a way to get it down. I'm like, please come back. Like, I'll just be like, this, if it goes to somebody else, okay, fine. It'll probably still be a good song. But if you're going to come back around when I have a pen.
Right.
I can write this down. A lot of time spent driving long distances in the car. Like, I would come up with entire songs and be like, I have to memorize this now.
And keep then, singing it to myself.
Yeah. And that's what I would do. Like, I drive a lot. Back and forth between the Adirondacks and Syracuse, where I live now, and I have for years. I've just made that trip like 100, like over 100 times, probably more in my lifetime. And just, you know, we'll come up with a song and be like, oh, just memorize it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and then get home and write it down, and then it's there. And so that's one way to do it. But
talk for a minute about the name Late Earth. I don't know. To me, it feels weirdly kind of modern in kind of a, I don't know, just kind of a perspective about what kind of times, you know, us as humanity sometimes feel like we're living in. But what about that has made it stick for you?
So it's kind of, it's very astute of you, Patrick, that it does sound kind of like a commentary on the times, because the concept behind it is like the comic book that I came up with for grad school. The backstory of that is that It's about time travel. And so that there's this reality, there's this sort of timeline, an Earth timeline called, you know, it's a late Earth timeline. It's an end of the world scenario. The term late is like when you're reading through the obituary, you'll see like the late so-and-so, da-da-da. Yeah. And so that term kind of stuck out to me, and I was just like, it's kind of an abstract term, but to have that appended to Earth, late Earth, it's kind of like a doomed timeline kind of thing. And that's and that's where the story comes from, is, you know, characters in the story are trying to save that reality at all costs, and that's where it's not based on real things. There's a lot of stuff that's going on right now that is very very leaving people very uncertain about what the future is going to be like, and I think that my generation in particular is really attuned to that, where we're like, we're kind of being left with this thing, this yeah. giant lurching mechanism yeah. that we have to figure out how to make it go. But I don't know. Despite the fact that a lot of my music is kind of dark and looming in that way, like, I am an optimist about our future. I think that we will pull our fat out of the fire at the very last moment, because of course we would, like, right. species of procrastinators, like, I don't know. I have hope in that way, but late Earth is a way for me to gripe about that stuff out loud.
You'll play here, October 1st down here in, Silver Spring, Maryland, as I mentioned, and I just want to, promote this for the listeners. If you can come out, we'd love to see you. So the whole event's going to start Thursday, September 29th, we're going to be at the VFW Hall, which is nicknamed Hell's Bottom, by the way.
Hell's Bottom.
VFW Post in Tacoma Park, Maryland. So come out for that. That'll be, we call it a live hootenanny. It's really like an open mic night. You can come and just hang out. You can bring an instrument. You can sing. Hopefully we'll, still working on the particulars, we may have some opportunity for people who don't even have anything prepared but just want to get up and sing. Mm-hmm. We could have some backing music for that, but anyway, it'll be fun regardless. That'll be we're gonna start that at 6 p.m so that's gonna nice. Be an early start, so it's gonna be a lot of fun, and you can get your drinking in early. It still qualifies as day drinking. Well, maybe not 6 p.m but you know, anyway. Okay, so that's Thursday, September 29th, and then Friday, September 30th, at Hank Deedle's Tavern in Rockville, Maryland, we're gonna hear Frank Muffin and a band called the Half Smokes, and that'll be up in Rockville. And then Saturday, October 1st, I mentioned, you got Jay Schnitt, Wingtip Sloat, Apollo 66, and Late Earth playing at the American Legion Hall in Silver Spring, Maryland. Okay, and so coming off of that, Evan, you know, you're going to get that Suburbs Fest bounce, right? So you're just going to be, you know, at a much higher level, I think, than maybe where you are now. So where does Late Earth go from there?
So Late Earth from here, we're just going to keep playing and see what happens. That's all it's really ever been. It's been a way to, you know, get the music out, get the energy out, and I think it's always going to be that. Like, you know, we've had like lofty bucket list goals of going to Australia and stuff. We've gotten some airplay down in there, down in Canberra. There's a radio show called it's called Sunday Sounds. And they randomly found us once, and they picked up the track, and they spun us in Australia. So, like, that's kind of something that's been on the list. I know that Suburbs has some international folks. So, like, you know, to just keep going and just make music happen. That's the plan.
When you say that they picked up that track in Australia, was it which song was that?
I'm pretty sure they played Headcase, but I think they also played two or three tracks, actually. There was Headcase. Okay. Graves. Watch has stopped. Now I don't wonder where my time has gone. It's still right here where it's always been. And it ain't going anywhere. The familiar ticks and nervous twitches have left. Fled off to reconcile differences far too similar to discern from the background we stand against. In all
I know now is that the story writes itself.
Evan, I got to ask you one thing, too, that was in my mind when I was listening to your music and thinking about watching you perform. You seem like a guy who has, like, a giant stack of books, like, next to his bed or wherever he is. Are you a voracious reader?
I was a voracious reader when I was a lot younger. I used to love being read to. My mom said I was just constantly asking her to read to me. I do still read, but, like, with the internet and all of the screens in my life, it kind of, you know, I will take an entire year to read a book. So I'm a bit embarrassed about that. I want to be a voracious reader again. But my current stack of books next to the bed is on top is Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going through that right now. You know, so it goes. And then below that is Dune, which I'm a chunk of the way through. Like,
oh, neat.
It's a good book, but man, it's like just a lot of proper nouns and objects that don't exist in the real world. There's a lot of descriptions that go on about that sort of stuff. So it's like, it's pretty dense. And then below that is Saga, which is a graphic novel that is excellent. That if you have never checked it out, it's pretty cool.
So no, I never have.
Those are the books by my bed right now.
Sweet.
I think just being online, I'm constantly reading anyway. So right. That's where a lot of that, you know, I do read. And but one thing I will do is I'll just be reading. I'll find a word that I've either never seen or I think is very cool, and I'll just immediately go look that up.
Really? Yep. That is great.
And so I'm just constantly going to Google, define this word, define this. And then it's like, oh, that's neat. And then I'll just put that in a song. And so there's like a, you know, like a vocabulary going on in anything that's just like, man, you know, that's what it is. It's because I'll hear something that isn't already in my lexicon, and I'll be like, I want to add that to the box. And
that's very cool. Yeah. That's a great way to do it. And also keep your horizons expanding when it comes to that kind of stuff as well.
I love words. I love the way that, like, words sound. And if they have a meaning that goes to them, that's also really interesting. I'm like, this is perfect. This, you know, we'll add this here. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
always be looking up words and defining them. Another thing that I will do is I will use a word and be not sure. Like, I won't be sure if I know the actual definition of that word. So I'll use it and then I'll go look it up. It's like, it's like jump first to make the parachute on the way
down.
Kind of thing. Like, and then when you get it right, you're like, yes,
yes.
That's funny. That's
as an editor, Jim is cringing over there. My writer's going to use a word he doesn't know what it means.
No, but then he wouldn't figure it out.
At least he looked it up.
And then turn around and be like, no, wait, that's not what that word means.
That's not it. I need something different.
I will have moments like that. I'll be like, oop, I actually used that word wrong. So own your editing mistakes.
There you go.
The world is relentless over things like that. Like, you said simulacrum when you meant to say simulacra. It's like, okay, I'll go die now.
That's right. Yeah, there's no hiding anymore.
Sometimes songwriters will just make up words too.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't fit right.
Oh, the Bectionary, dude. Odelay all day.
Oh, right. I love that.
Yeah. Which is a reference to Futurama. There's a scene in Futurama where they have Beck, and Beck is just a floating head in a jar, but he's still performing. And he has the Bectionary.
Nice.
Yeah. So check out that episode.
I definitely will. I didn't know that was even a thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's funny. It feels almost like a Grateful Dead-esque kind of episode of Futurama because they get in a bus and they travel around and they follow Beck, and Bender is has been disabled, and so now he's basically the washboard in Beck's band. It's hilarious. Just if you love music and you like Matt Groening, check that out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's very cool. Yeah, well, that's actually the last thing I had to ask you was, I mean, how do you consume music these days? Is it, you know, what kind of stuff do you listen to?
So I've been listening to, like, a lot of stuff. I have YouTube constantly in the background because I refuse to get YouTube music. I just, like, have regular YouTube going. So on top of, like, you know, the podcasts and other stuff, I listen to a lot of the new stuff that I've been listening to is kind of like, I've been listening to Oliver Tree a lot lately.
Oh, okay.
And just because, like, his music is really driving. The lyrics are actually very kind of simple. but they're really powerful. They're shoutable. And I think that is really, my brain has been attracted to that recently. So I've been listening to a lot of Oliver Tree. I've been listening to Polyphia.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard them, but they are.
I have not. How do you spell that?
Polyphia, Polyphia.
Okay.
And they're just, it's just very technical, instrumental guitar and band sort of stuff. And it like to listen to it, like this guitar player, I think his name's Tim. He's just like this young, he looks younger, but he just plays like hyper triplets and just like all this really intricate stuff. Mm. And so I really, my brain is snacking on that right now. In that vein of things is also Pliny.
Okay.
P-L-I-N-I and Chon, uh-huh. Those two groups. I'm really starting to get in really technical guitar work kind of stuff. And I enjoy that. That's what's been on my musical menu as of late.
Very cool. Very cool. So you're finding stuff on YouTube and, mm-hmm. and where everything is,
where
if you look hard enough,
is.
Which kind of blows me away. It really is.
I still to this day listen to most of the old stuff, though. I listen to a lot of hip hop too. I think that's also where like the vocab is coming from.
Well, yep. Yeah.
Because I mean, I can't have a conversation about hip hop without talking about Aesop Rock. The man mm-hmm. is a genius, and his lexicon is massive. But his stuff is fun. It's not overly serious, but it's very, very, very versed. Like his dictionary is just very broad. He's got a lot of words going on, and so to listen to that is definitely really, I really enjoy that because, I mean, he's the man. Can't be Aesop. MF Doom too. That's a big inspiration for me.
Yeah.
I started. It's funny. It's like I don't want to drag this out too long. The musical conversation is hip hop and rap doesn't really get talked about a lot. When it comes to like the vein of the type of music that I'm creating, anti folk or punk, acoustic punk, crust punk, whatever it is you want to call this fast stuff that we're creating, a lot of that is based in hip hop. Like I was listening to a Warped Tour compilation album back in high school, and I heard Atmosphere for the first time, and I was like, this is really good. Like I think the song is called 15 Minutes, and from there I picked up Atmosphere. I picked up Idea and Abilities. Idea is amazing, and it sucks that he passed away from an overdose.
Yeah.
But his music is epic. Like I said, MF Doom, around that time, had put out an album called The Mouse and the Mask.
Mm-hmm.
It had Danger Doom on the front of it. It was MF Doom and Danger Mouse. And it was all music. It was all hip-hop songs, rap, inspired by Adult Swim shows. And so Adult Swim was like this block of television that was, I mean, it's still occurring, but it's what's on Cartoon Network After Hours.
Right.
And he did a whole album that was about all of those shows. And I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And so, MF Doom gets a big hat tip. And again, it sucks that he has passed away. He passed away last October 31st.
Scared of a bunch of water, then get out the rain. Order a rapper for lunch and spit out the chain. Then kick a lungy off the tip of his timbo and trick a honey dip into a game of strip limbo. Odd, he couldn't find no remorse. A wink is as good as a nod to a blind horse. Of course, his technique was from a divine source. Never knew the price of ice or what swine cost. One guy tried to bite the heat. It's when he discovered the other white meat. Oh, the one they hate so well. He sure keeps his cycle like the old Bates Motel. They came to ask him for at least some new tracks, but only got confronted by the beast with two backs. Knock, Mouse is a made man. Villain laid it down like the best laid plan. Bell the cat, who the hell is that near the middle? Gotcha, but it's not all bear and skittles. Prepare the vittles, got riddles and spittles. Crystal clear to the jot or the tittle. It's hot off the griddle. Came to take the cake, whether it's a lot or a little. Kaboom, Doom is nervous large. You could tell by his blooming room service charge. Dark and tall to boot. The only thing was wrong is he was bald as a coot. Used to ran a van from Peter Pan to Red and Tan, and keep the human foot for his dead man's hand. This was when the mask was brand spanking new, before it got rusted from drinking all the brew. Stankin' too, pew. Kept all his earnings in the bank in a shoe.
I think especially for like a whole generation of songwriters coming up, even if they don't perform hip hop, it can't help but influence them in some way.
Absolutely.
It's just part of the musical culture now.
It's a great point. Yep.
It is. I mean, it's culturally driving. You can't say that it's not. It's everywhere. It's cool. It's really good. And I think a lot of people that have an aversion to that, they're like, they don't have an entry point. They don't know where to get in to listen or what to find interesting. But it's like, to me, like hip hop and rap, that lyricism is that a lot of that is coming straight from the heart and it's coming straight from experience. And that's, I think, what I really gravitate towards, because it's that realness. And so if anybody's, you know, unsure of what to listen to, check out some of the groups that I had mentioned, some of the performers that I had mentioned, because they're up there and they're really good.
Yeah, that's great. Okay,
that's absolutely great. I got a list here to check out myself.
Well, thanks very much, Evan. This has been a delight.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's been awesome.
No problem. I love talking to you guys.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan Bijou.
Thank you, man.
We look forward to seeing you down here. We look forward to everybody coming on down to Suburbs Fest. It's going to be a good time. All right. If you need more information, go to suburbspod.com and click on the Suburbs Fest banner, and it's right there. Okay?
Heck yeah. I look forward to seeing you guys, and stay cool.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Evan Bijou. And we'll see you then.
That I take and I go to great lengths. Reimagine the tank, but got no place to put it. Set it down more than once, still nobody took it. I'm in a low speed chase with my own brain and cook it. I got the capacity to handle what comes after me. Better love leaven off the insanity, that's for me. So the solution to this catastrophe, mercy please. Irony comes crashing in the throw another book at me. I can't between the soil without hearing your name. Gonna check the weather in it, I quickly need a something change. But if you can see how I spent my days, I bet. Say without delay, what a lovely yellow brick road that you think. Yeah. Swept up all the dust and took it away. And it's kind of difficult to explain, but I'm not addressing you directly. So I'm not ashamed to be unafraid to tell you that that's all that I'm gonna say. Eyes in the sky every night, drawing those lines. And the depths of my sketches, all my etchings are ripping the tide of my mind. Repeating, repeatedly control, alt, delete me with care, because I'm the only one of my kind. I'd rather dance with you slowly than throw it and rewind, because stories without end are just punching the clock to kill time. It's honor in the plot lines, dragging your nails down the chalkboard of my spine. Yes, still I'm fine. Yeah.
Hell's Bottom.